For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Post Wrestling. I'm Karen Peterson, and joining me today is Kate Kroll, who is both a decorated film director, accomplished pro wrestler, and the driving force behind the documentary Lunatic, The Luna Vachon Story. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kate.
Thanks, Karen.
Are you ready for a whole bunch of questions in a very short amount of time?
Like, bring them on. Like, ask me the craziest questions.
Oh. Don't give me that much power. All right. So first and foremost, for those who aren't familiar with you or your work, tell us a little bit about yourself and what the premise of Lunatic is.
Sure. Yeah. So I'm a Vancouver-based filmmaker. And I'm also a pro wrestler, as you mentioned. So I've been working in the film industry for the past 10 years as a director and producer. And then in, I think, 2016, I kind of got dared to like go to a wrestling training, and then I stepped foot in the ring and I was like, what? Why haven't I been doing this? And so then I started wrestling and I married my trainer. So
hey.
That happened. Yeah.
So what inspired you to make a documentary about Luna Vachon?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was kind of like, it just made so much sense because I think all of us wrestling fans, I mean, everyone I've talked to, we've all really loved and respected Luna. I mean, she's such an incredible worker. She was really ahead of her time. She scared the living bejesus out of like, she's everything I wanted to be. And so I always respected her as a worker. But then when I started looking more at her, she had all these layers to her story. Like, not only was there like the whole like women's wrestling, like evolution and kind of like being a pioneer, but also her struggles with mental health and addiction, the fact that she's a mom. It just made so much sense. There was so much to tell, for her story, but like at how it first came about was I wanted to see one of my heroes on the screen. Like I wanted to see a kick-ass women's wrestler on the screen. Also there's the Canadian connection with Luna as well. So it just all kind of made sense. And it's, I don't know. If you've seen the film, when I say that I feel like it was really Luna who made this film.
Yeah.
I was there the whole time. And everything just started clicking into place. And I feel like she had something to do with it.
One of my friends who works at Post, Kate, actually also named Kate from Montreal. She's Canadian, obviously. And she and I we reviewed the film together. So after this interview comes out, our full dissection of it will come out the same day, right before your big premiere. And we both loved the film. We thought it was very well done. We thought it really honored Luna's memory and actually filled in a lot of historical gaps for a lot of people.
Oh, good.
So how long did this project take for you from start to finish? It's because it seems like a very, like, for as long as it is, like 114 or 115 minutes, it seems like a very massive undertaking.
It was, I'm exhausted. I mean, I had a baby while I was baking it. And
oh my gosh.
So, yeah, I started developing it right before the pandemic.
Okay.
And I did some like pre-interviews over Zoom during the pandemic. And then I got the funding in place kind of like right after the pandemic ended. But then like by the time that all happened and I did my first shoot, which was in Quebec, I was like 8 months pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
I had to have a baby. And I took time off for that. And then, yeah, so it's been a couple of years and like, I didn't have a huge budget. So it really was like me and the producers doing a lot of jobs. So it's like that, it's like cheap, fast, and good. Cheap, and I wanted it to be good. So it just it wasn't fast type of thing. But yeah, it originally was like 4 hours long.
Like
there was so much to tell. It was really painful cutting some things out, but
are you ever going to have your, like your Snyder supercut all 4 hours of it?
Oh my God. If anyone wants to like buy a Luna Vachon series, I will make
it. So since you are a women's wrestler and you know that you touch upon a lot of topics that not only affected Luna's era of wrestling, but still affects women's wrestling today, thankfully to a much lesser degree, what difficult topics, trigger warnings, or stigmas will be addressed in this film in regards to the life and times of Luna Vachon and how it kind of mirrors things that women are facing in the industry today?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing with Luna's story. There's so many universal themes that I think if you're into wrestling or you don't care about wrestling, I think we can all kind of relate. So themes around mental health, and particularly bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. You know, she struggled with addiction and we talk a lot about that. And I know I've had experience with in my personal family when it comes to that. I hope you can't hear my dogs. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Mine's trying to get on screen right now. So no need to apologize. Zelda is very beloved by the post-wrestling family. We love dogs.
Okay, I love dogs too. But then also, like, I don't know, some trigger things. I mean, I'm not going to say what it is. I think you have to watch the film to know, but there's some bombs that are dropped that I don't think anyone knows about.
My friend and I, we were both very caught off guard as we reviewed the film. There was times where it's like, there was always like the rumors of them floating around, but to hear somebody actually verbalize some of the things that happened, it was very eye-opening, but I think it was also very evergreen because it's been a constant struggle for certain things.
Exactly. And I really struggled morally. Do I bleep out names? Do I not include certain statements? And I talked to like many people in the wrestling industry. I talked to Luna's friends and everyone's like, no, you've got to say it, put it in. You're exposing something that maybe hasn't been talked about and maybe it needs to be exposed. And so, there's themes about, rape, or like sexual abuse, especially minors, minor. So there are definitely some triggers in the story. But that was Luna's life and that's what made her.
So as you were collecting all of these like testimonials and doing these interviews, at what point in your process did you realize that things like sexual harassment, objectification, wage disparity, human trafficking, all of these topics should be addressed? Was it you deciding or was it through talking with your peers? Was it something that you felt, you know, in the context of, you know, Medusa even mentions speaking out, which was a very big thing that rattled the wrestling industry several years ago?
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think I always knew it had to be addressed because it's part of the story. It can't be left out. I mean, and that was like one thing that actually hit me really hard that I didn't expect was like having it. Okay. So like Medusa, Alondra Blaze and Luna, like at Luna's first time at WWF, they had this great rivalry. They were such incredible athletes. They were like outdoing the men some nights. And it was just so magical, right? And then to edit that so closely to the Luna's second time at WWF, which was the Attitude Era and the Night Wars, as we all know, and to see like to actually see it on the screen, edited together, like that women almost became like these sacrificial lambs so that these wrestling companies could get eyes on the screen.
Yeah.
Right. And so like Luna and Medusa went from these incredible athletes to like, now they're talking about Medusa's breast implants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, these women just want to wrestle. Like, let them just wrestle instead right of on. Like being like the bait for all these like young men.
For that watch. Elusive 18 to 45 male demographic. For me, I started watching wrestling during the Attitude Era. So that was my first introduction to it.
Right.
So it, like a lot of what was discussed in the film really rang true to me as a female fan who struggled trying to reconcile. I was in my late teens, early 20s at that time. So it was very, you mm-hmm. know, body dysmorphia became an issue.
Right.
And even back in the 1980s and 90s, mental health was very much not a discussion. I always use Britney Spears as an example with her dealing with postpartum depression. So addressing her being a mother and trying to have that work-life balance in the film was one of the things that stood out to me very much because, you know, back then it seemed like it was either column A or column B. Like you literally could not have it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when it came to discussing that and also the very open dialogue that you have with Luna's situation with having her bipolar diagnosis, how were you able to get together with AEW's Aubrey Edwards to bring her into and to volunteer some very personal anecdotes and some very personal, her own personal journey in regards to that particular challenge of hers?
It's so funny because Ref Aubrey is like, she's such a trailblazer in her own right. Mm-hmm. Just like Luna, right? She's trailblazed reffing for women. Aubrey was so incredible. And that's one of the painful things. I had to cut out a lot of my interview with Ref Aubrey just because of time.
Yeah.
Which was like so sad. I want to make another documentary just so I can like have. Ref Aubrey was one of the first refs I like started working with when I began wrestling in the Pacific Northwest. She was just always such a great ref to work with as like an emerging wrestler. So I saw that she had spoken out online about her, struggles with, mental health and, being diagnosed bipolar. I saw some parallels between the two. But I also saw like a divergence where like Luna was living the rock and roll lifestyle and maybe not taking care of herself the way she should have.
Mm-hmm.
Aubrey, you know, we touched a little bit in the film, but when I interviewed her, she talked about how like being on the road all the time with AEW, she's got to like make sure she's taking her meds on time and like they're doing like a long flight. Are they packed in her carry-on so she can take them?
Never pack them in the carry-on. Always keep your medication on you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then like, is she getting enough sleep? Is she eating properly? Is she working out? Right. And so like to see those two parallels, but then kind of like where they diverge was really interesting for me.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
As you spoke to more and more of Luna's family and her peers in the wrestling industry during the different times, was there any particular personal anecdote from the people you interviewed that you realized as much as you know, you needed to cut for time, you could not leave a specific quote or a specific moment that they discussed out of the film?
Oh, was there anything I couldn't leave out?
Couldn't leave out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. A lot of people tried to tell me to keep out. So the clip of when Medusa was at WCW.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, I'm so sorry. I'm forgetting his name right now. William. Who was that wrestler? The cowboy hat. Anyways, when they're talking about, like, we had to cut out a lot of the clip, but basically they're talking about how, like, he's going to be in the room for all of Medusa's medical examinations. Ew. And like brought up the doctor, and the doctor's talking about like giving her nose job and breast implants. And I'd like, when I watched it in the context of the film I was making, like having the film I was making in my head and Luna's story. And then I just like watched that on YouTube and I like cried so hard because, you know, I had just been editing this like kick-ass section of Luna and Medusa just being like the most incredible wrestlers. And like, this is how you're treating her now.
Yeah.
I was like, so mad and upset. I literally, the editor and I, we like looked at each other and we just like bawled. And then so many people were like, leave that out. That has nothing to do with Luna. And I was like, it has everything to do with Luna. Cause like, that's what they were all facing at that time.
Correct.
So that was one thing where I was like, I'm not leaving that out.
Which I think it was a very smart decision because it really spoke to, it wasn't just an issue Luna faced, but it impacted, you know, Medusa and Jacqueline and a lot of the women in who were the trained wrestlers that wanted to just wanted to show their craft and be able to wrestle. Were there any challenges like locating footage, especially like the more obscure interviews or wrestling like on the independent scene for Luna?
I mean, yeah, it was difficult. Thank God the wrestling, what's it called? The Wrestling Universe out of New Jersey. They're like a wrestling store comics. I don't really know what they are. But anyway, they had done this great interview with Luna that we use a lot. And they, and I found it online and they're like, you can just use it. Like, it's yours. And then also the RF video that we used, that interview with Luna and Gangrel, that was really helpful. And then, about like 2 weeks before I was supposed to interview Howard Brody, who was one of the promoters of Wild Women of Wrestling, he passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so I was supposed to interview him at the Cauliflower Alley Club and he passed away kind of right before that. I don't know if it was exactly 2 weeks, but before that. And our associate producer, Greg Oliver, was at the memorial and he like just saw these VHS tapes that like no one knew what they were. They were just like these two VHS tapes that were there. And they were this old Wild Women of Wrestling footage that like no one had seen since the 80s.
Oh, wow.
So, like Greg was like, can I take these? And so we took them and we digitized them. And I ended up giving the digitized copy to Craig Cohen, who was Howard Brody's partner at Wild Women of Wrestling. And so like that to me was either Howard Brody helping us from beyond or Luna helping us from beyond. Maybe they were together.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Throughout the documentary, there's a lot of storm and like cloud imagery. And, you know, as someone who lives in Florida where the summer squalls, it rains at the drop of a hat. It was one of those things where it felt very intentional in that selection, especially when I was like, I don't know if you interviewed a lot of people during a rainy season because there was a lot of thunder and a lot of lightning going on.
Even like the first time that the editor and I met, like we met to go through the footage and like it was the editor's first day. And then I left her house and it started lightning and thundering in Vancouver and it never lightnings and thunders.
Really?
Like nowhere. Like maybe like once or twice a year. And on that, like as soon as I left my editor's house, it started doing that. And I was like,
it's hey, a sign. Well,
this is our theme.
I love that.
Theme.
So So as a Canadian, what did it mean to research a Canadian wrestling dynasty like the Vachons, piece together Luna's story, and have the final work premiere in a city like Toronto, which is, you know, it's a very big destination for, you know, major wrestling companies like WWE and AEW?
Yeah, I mean, it was what I really like about telling this story as a Canadian is I feel like she was a Canadian trailblazer and a legend who a lot of Canadians don't know about. Or a lot of people don't even think of her as being Canadian.
Yeah.
I mean, she was born in Atlanta or Georgia. And, yeah. But she lived in Canada for a big part of her life. And she's a Canadian. We're claiming her. Sorry.
Don't apologize. Never apologize for that. So as we're getting ready to end March and go into April, of course, it's WrestleMania season, and WrestleMania always comes with the Hall of Fame, in which Luna was inducted several years ago into the Legends wing. Was the release of this documentary intentionally part of WrestleMania season, or was it a happy accident that the film festival coincides with WrestleMania season?
It's a happy accident, believe it or not. And I think she should be like in the main Hall of Fame.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, I have issues with how she's been inducted, but I won't go there. No, it just so happened to be like that. Maybe Luna had something to do with it. I don't know. But I do want to say my husband and I run a wrestling promotion called WrestleCore.
Okay.
And putting on a show in Vegas for WrestleMania weekend. At the Swan Dive on Friday the 18th at 3 p.m. And we have Sabre Jr. and El Fantasmo, or LP, whatever you want to call them. My sister Taryn from accounting, Nicole Matthews, who's in the film.
That's great. I'm excited that you guys are having a show. I mean, I will enjoy Couchamania. So if it's streaming somewhere, I will cheer you on from my couch.
I love it.
I have my own kitchen, my own bathroom, my front row seat. It's fine.
Butt pad, yes.
So after it premieres this weekend, where will people be able to watch? Are you going to do submissions to various film festivals? Mm-hmm. Is it going onto streaming? Can people download it and watch it anywhere?
We're submitting it to different festivals. So I'm trying to get it into like as many festivals as I can in Canada and the US and worldwide. In Canada, it will eventually play on, it's called Hollywood Suite, which is a cable channel in Canada. And so for the US, I don't know where it's going to stream, but it's really, I'm sure it's going to find a home.
I hope so, because it was very, very well done. So as we wrap up, Lunatic, the Luna Vachon story premieres this coming Saturday night, March 29th at the Canadian Film Fest at 9 p.m. At time of recording, tickets are still available and there may be walk-ups available. So please, if you can and you have the time, if you want something to do on a Saturday night, go support this project. It's absolutely amazing. Kate, if you want people to follow you on social media and support your projects, where can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. It's katekroll.blackmoon. Black Moon Media is my company. Or Calamity Kate, if you want to follow my wrestling. I'm retired, but there's also Calamity Kate. She's more fun than Yeah, I'm not really doing X right now. Sorry to get political.
Oh, no. I quit it cold turkey as well. So okay. It's not just you. Don't feel bad about it.
So Instagram's probably the best way.
Awesome. All right. Well, my review of Lunatic, the Luna Vachon story, will be available on the Post Wrestling Cafe for all cafe members. My pal and yours, Kate from Montreal, will be closing out Women's History Month with me, reviewing the show with in-depth discussions about the documentary, a comparative analysis, and some recommended supplemental readings. Thank you so much for your time today, Kate.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.